I want to open in prayer. Are you ready? Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Our glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. God, we thank you that you hear us, God. God, there are so many different ways that we can touch your heart, God. God, and our desire is to come and become one with you, to know your heart, God, and to share our concerns with you, God. And Father, you've made prayer and worship the way that pierces your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, so how many of you are intercessors? All right, that's all of us, right? We're all supposed to be intercessors. Well, I am supposed to be teaching on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and the significant verse is never giving up and praying without ceasing. And how do you do that? How do you pray without ceasing? Well, actually, every breath can be a prayer. In the Passion Translation, Brian Simmons writes, pray without ceasing as make your life a prayer. And many, many people, I've over the years run into so many people who don't understand that they're called to pray, they're called to intercession, and they don't realize that the upset that they feel over something or the emotional drawing to something or the never letting go of a thought, they don't realize that's actually a form of intercession. So I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians. Actually, I'm supposed to do the whole verse, so I'm going to start because it'll put it in context. Reading from the Passion Translation, verse 12. Dear brothers and sisters, make sure that you show your deep appreciation to those who cherish you and diligently work as ministers among you. They are your leaders who care for you, teach you, and stand before the Lord on your behalf. They value you with great love because they're service to you. Let peace reign among yourselves. We appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to instruct those who are not in their place of battle. Be skilled at gently encouraging those who feel themselves inadequate. Be faithful to stand your ground. Help the weak to stand. Be quick to demonstrate patience with everyone. Resist revenge. Make sure that no one pays back evil in place of evil. Always pursue doing what is beautiful to one another and to the unbelievers. Let your joy be your continual feast. Make your life a prayer, and in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. Never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit, and don't be one who scorns prophecies, which I don't see anyone in here who would scorn a prophecy. Be faithful to examine them by putting them to the test, and afterward, hold tightly to what is proven to be right and avoid every appearance of evil. So how are our prayers heard? The purer our relationship with God, the more that we humble ourselves, the more that we stand in repentance, God hears. We can put a barrier between ourselves and God if we have aught with another person or if we have an attitude or don't like the way something's being done. We have to stand as an army. And in prayer, corporate prayer, if we join our hearts together, it just impacts God's heart even more. So God inhabits the praises of his people. Worship is our warfare as an army. I discovered many years ago that worship and prayer are inseparable. It's really part of the same thing. In Isaiah 56:7, It says, my father's, oh no, it doesn't say my father. God says, my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations. But that word, prayer, is actually tefillah, not tehillah, which is like a hallel, but tefillah means intercessory worship. I mean, when I discovered that, I'm like, oh my gosh. So the house of prayer in Kansas City, got it. You know, you're mixing worship, scripture, and intercession, and the prophetic also. You know, it's all intertwined. And I believe this is where the heart of God rests, in the middle of all of that. Luke, I think it's 1946, I think I got that right. I've got so many notes. I just can't download everything that God gave me, so whatever he chooses today is what we're going to talk about. But Jesus goes into the tabernacle, the temple, the money changers are there, and he picks up his whip, and he says, my father's house will be a house of prayer, and you've made it a robber's den. And that is the same scripture that's referring back to Isaiah, and it's meaning the same thing, that a place of prayer, place of worship. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We have to believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And what is faith? It takes faith to worship. I mean, you know, you may not feel like it. You may not sense the presence of God, but I guarantee if you open your mouth in worship, the presence will come at some point. And when the presence of God comes, I don't care what circumstance you're going through, that presence will carry you through. My weapon is my song. So, oh, I have too much here. Always pray, do not lose heart. I have found in my life that when God seats a vision or desire in me or a prophetic word and I know it's from him, I'm more bound to prayer than ever. I spent a lot of time in Toronto. If you don't know me, you have to know that I'm the Toronto queen. I mean, I went to Toronto first in 1995 and God locked me in. I was on the ministry team. I went to every major conference. I was there when the great outpouring happened back in the 90s, and it was a privilege to be there. I mean, a lot of people gave me a lot of flack when I came home. I mean, they'd run a pathway to the pastor's office and say, whatever it is she has, we don't think we want it. And now it's like, I mean, people are just running past me. You know, it's like, it was quite a time. But when I was there, it's probably one of the first two times I was there, there was a man named Scott Holtz. He was a blower of the shofar. He is a pastor. He is Jewish. His wife is an Israeli Jew who was a drill sergeant in the Israeli army. She was awesome, Dalit. But he blew the shofar one morning, and I was standing with my hands on the seat in front of me, and I bent over and went, ho! I was, what was that? It sounded like a shofar. And that's when I realized, I am a shofar. This is great. So he blew it again. I fell on the floor between the seats, and I had one of the most vivid, open visions I've ever had in my life. It is forever seared in me. And in the vision, I saw the earth at a distance. And I saw this canopy of the glory of God all around the earth. It was just waiting. And just as in the days of Noah, I heard, just as in the days of Noah, so my glory will be as the waters that fell to the earth. And all of a sudden, the glory covers the earth. The next thing I see, I'm in the streets, and it looks like New York City. This was before 9/11, even. And in the city, I saw billows of smoke, and I saw people falling to their knees, and only the Christians could stand, because when the glory came, we were so used to being able to stand in his presence. But all the others were on their knees, hands raised, crying out to God, saying, God, God, you're God, and surrendering their lives. And I'll never forget that. And I came home from there knowing the very thing we had been praying for, actually in that building next door, I was a member of, it was at that point, North Aiken Baptist. And it was a Spirit-filled Baptist church. But I came back, we had been having solemn assemblies and praying for God to move. We didn't know what we were praying for. We were praying for God to pour out. We didn't know what revival was or looked like. We just knew that it had happened in history. And I came home with that vision, and I never let it go. That was a thing that carried me in prayer. That was a thing that made me an intercessor. I came home, and within the first couple of weeks, I'd be on my face crying out to God like I had never cried out. And I've been a person of prayer since I was first saved. I mean, I got it right away. It's like, wow, God shows up when you're praying, especially corporately. So we started gathering, having prayer meetings, saying, God, God, this was my prayers. God, if you don't move here the way I saw you move there, we're just going to die. So please, God, you've got to move. Well, I think I was a little over-exuberant because I don't think anybody really, people were not really sure they wanted whatever it was. They weren't sure it was God. But as the Holy Spirit started to move, more and more people are like, we want to go there too. We want to see what God's doing. Well, we don't have to go to Toronto anymore because God is moving everywhere. The vision that many of us have had is the city of Columbia, like the Ponderosa map, fire starts in the middle and whoosh, goes out. Or little teeny lights in the darkness, little teeny campfires all over the state, actually all over the country. And all of a sudden, the wind blows, and it's a raging fire, the presence of God. So I carry that in my heart. That has made me an intercessor. We want to see a move. We want to see a move in the CSRA. I think I'm going to throw my notes out. Yeah, there are just too many notes, too many notes. There are some things I will pick up. Then in, I guess it was, what year was it? It was 2002. Some of my friends and I decided we were going to go to Kansas City to a conference because we knew about the House of Prayer out there. And that was my heart, is they're mixing intercession and worship. And that's where the presence and power of God just seems to go out from there. Healing, prophecy. Anyway, we went out. And none of us really talked to each other, but when we heard the musicians and the singers in the middle of corporate worship and intercession, each one of us were like, this is what we're made for. We're made to do this. So we came home. Actually, my friend Barbara Walker, she's been a prayer partner since 1994. We've been praying together, praying this whole region. So she invited a team to come here. We couldn't get into any of the workshops out at the conference, and there was a door open, and we walked in, and they were having a training session for anybody who wanted to learn their technique of worship and intercession. And you'll see the sheet, intercessory prayers. They'll start in prayer, sing prophetically what they're praying about. They'll use one of the apostolic prayers. They'll join it with whatever topic they're praying for. God's give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of who you are in this city. and then the singers will sing what the prayer leader prays. And it is amazing. So we got to participate. Barbara and I got to be on the team. And it was phenomenal because it was like a wave. You would sing a little phrase, the next person would sing a phrase, and it was almost like a wave of the Spirit. You could actually feel it coming your way, and all of a sudden, a verse would just come into mind, and then it would pass on to the next person. And Barbara asked if a team could come and train us here in this city. So they came to North Aiken Baptist, and many of the musicians that we're in relationship with got to be on the team. Well, we didn't quite do it their way, which is fine. You just find what works for you. So Joe and Celeste Cash over in Augusta opened their house, and we started there. I had already been having prayer meetings in my house for years at that point when we started. And Joe and Celeste opened their house, and we did it. We just jumped right in. We had a blast, and they did it at their house for 7 years, and now it's at the barn, and Jerry comes, which is great. It's pretty amazing what God will do in one of those meetings. And so we're still moving on. And I'm going to relate this back to the Tabernacle of David. The thing I found about worship and intercession mixed together, it perpetuates your ability to stay in the presence of God and stay focused and stay on track. Now, when the Philistines had captured the Ark of the Lord, it didn't do well for them. I mean, you can read your scriptures. I mean, they were having tumors and all kinds of stuff happen. And so finally, David captured the Ark, and he brought it back to Mount Zion. He built a tent, and this was the place where, I mean, we all hear in the Old Testament how you couldn't stand before the ark because of the presence of God, and if you did not have a pure heart, you were knocked down dead. We all know those, you know, we can read it. But in 1 Chronicles, you can read about how David started worship and intercession in the tent before the ark, and it lasted for 33 years nonstop. 288 singers, 4,000 musicians, nonstop. And that's tenacity. In Luke, the persistent widow never gives up. And she goes to the judge and keeps knocking on his door till finally the judge can't handle it anymore and says, just give her what she wants. And that's the kind of persistence that God loves in us. It's not something, though, when you get a vision, when God gives you a vision for something, it's not something that you can hang on to and persist in your own strength. You can't do it in your own strength. If God embeds a vision in you, you can't help but pray for it. We get tired, yeah. Prayer has become effortless since we've mixed it with worship. It's a joy. We're not grinding our faces into the ground anymore like we were. I mean, I felt like my face was a plowshare. I mean, some of that's necessary, but I think God's doing something different these days. I'll take it back to another vision that one of the intercessors, this was out on the West Coast. I was at a conference in Washington State, and some of the intercessors, we gathered together. Well, actually, I was called to lead intercession for the conference. It was cool. Intercessors from that area came in, and we'd all been feeling burdened and downtrodden and like, God, what is going on? And one of the intercessors had a vision. And in the vision, all of the intercessors were in the stadium, and they were battling the enemy in the middle of the stadium, you know, sword to sword, battle to battle, and all of a sudden, the worshipers, the intercessors, raised their arms and started to worship God. They were lifted up from the battleground, up through the center of the stadium to the presence of God, and the enemy, with their own swords, devoured themselves. And it was about that time when the House of Prayer started. This was, you know, this is all back in the 90s and early 20,000s, whatever we are. So anyway, many have found that prayer and intercession is enjoyable. Sometimes, I don't know if any of you have read Benny Johnson's book, The Happy Intercessor. A lot of people don't like that book because her method and the method they use at Bethel Church and the method they use at the healing rooms in Spokane is called the War Room. There is continual worship going on. It may not be live worship. But the battle is fought laying in the presence of the Lord and meeting with him on the floor. So it doesn't take a lot of railing. Sometimes it does. I mean, we all have different types of prayer going on. We might be weeping can be a prayer, silent weeping. Crying out with a loud voice, ho! I mean, God hears it. It's a breakthrough. Healing prayer, of course. Mark 7:33, when Jesus went to the deaf and dumb man, and he spit on his tongue, sticks his fingers in his ears. He looks up to heaven with a deep sigh, and he says, be opened. Ears are open. His voice comes back. That word, he looked up to heaven with a deep sigh. Something kept sticking in my spirit. And I remembered there was a time in Toronto, I watched John Arnott pray for somebody, and we may have felt this, all of us, laying hands on a person, and all of a sudden a groan, oh, comes out of us. Healing power is released. When I read this passage one day, I'm like, he didn't sigh. He groaned. I looked up the word. Guess what? That word can be interpreted as groaned. And it goes back. If you go to Romans, it's 8:28, I believe, that the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. It's the same identical word. That leveled me. I was like, oh, God, you're God. I'm not. Hannah prayed for a child at Shiloh. Okay, I'm going to tell. I got to go to Israel with Brian Simmons last year. It was so cool. And he took us off the beaten path to a place that not many people get to go to on the tour of Israel. It's not on the main path. Shiloh is where, when the Israelites came into Israel, it's the plain where the ark rested for many, many years. I think it was like 400. I didn't know that. I didn't know it was there that long. But they won't tell you exactly where it is, but Brian Simmons has been there a number of times, and they found the area, and it's not publicized, but it's fenced off. And it measures exactly the size of the tabernacle. And, okay, we sneaked behind the fence and we went to where the ark would rest. And you could see where the antiquities had been digging it up right in that area just to see what was there. On the plain, there is a lean-to where you can go to worship, and when the groups come in, your teacher can teach you. That is the spot where Hannah prayed. It meant so much to me. But when she was praying at Shiloh, she was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli, the prophet, thought she was drunk. And she said, I have poured out my soul before the Lord. It was not a spoken word. It was an unspoken word. It came directly from the heart. And of course, we know Samuel was the result. She gave her child back to God. And he was a whole different sort of prophet. How can we pray continuously? Okay, the first 1,500 years of our history was the Catholic Church. I mean, I don't know how you feel about the Catholic Church. There's some things in every denomination that kind of go off, but that is our history. That was astounding to me when I realized it. We can't diss ourselves from the Catholic Church. That's our root, whether we like what they say or not. But here we go. St. Teresa of Avila, she was a Spanish noblewoman who became a Carmelite nun back in the 1500s. One of the things she said, for prayer is nothing more than being on terms of friendship with God. That's it. That's everything. Are you a friend of God? Is he closer than a brother? Closer than your own breath? He knows every anxious thought. And I think sometimes those anxious thoughts are a form of prayer too. Do you know he even hears our tears? Tears are prayers too. They travel to God when we can't speak. He holds our tears in a bottle. Psalm 56:8. Madame Guillaume from France, she was in prison back in the 1700s. She had written a book, A Short and Very Easy Method of Prayer. She was labeled a heretic because of her love for God, and the Catholic Church didn't like her. She was in prison, and she says, in her outspoken devotion to God, just as we are called to salvation, we are called to prayer. Scripture commands us to pray without ceasing. Prayer is nothing more than turning our hearts towards God and receiving his love in return. It's so simple. How do we pray without ceasing? It's easy. Every breath, every word. Ah, yes. And the Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. That was actually Romans 8:26. Thank you, God. Prayer of faith. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working to, if our heart is clean before him, if we have forgiveness towards others, if there's a sense of repentance towards things and people, I believe that our heart is made clean before him. Daniel, the hall of faith, right? In Jeremiah 29, it says, seek me and find me. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. That scripture in Jeremiah is the very scripture that Daniel saw when the Israelites were in captivity in Babylon. He read that after the 70 years of captivity, God was going to release his people. And when I discovered that, it's in Jeremiah. Oh my God, we quote that so many times and we don't realize that was the thing that Daniel prayed. He saw the prophecy and realized that the 70 years of captivity were over. He prayed for captive Israel to be set free. He first humbled himself, confessed the sins of the Father, and asked for forgiveness. Prayer will accomplish its end if partnered with repentance and forgiveness. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Faith is one of our keys. It takes faith to worship a God we can't see, but he does meet us. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Faith is much easier to pray through a situation when we have an assurance of who he is and what we hope for. If we base our prayers in Scripture, and you know, I did hand out some of the apostolic prayers, you'll find that if you use that sheet, God will just illuminate something in your heart. And I'm telling you, if you pray according to his heart and his will, you can pretty much be assured that you're praying what he would want to hear. We're partnering with God's heart. If you've been given a vision, an unshakable desire, a prophetic confirmation, it's much more likely that you'll remain steadfast in your call to the heart of God. As I've said, it's been so many years. I mean, there are times we all want to give up. We think, well, God, was that really you? Because I'm not seeing the fruit. I'm not seeing it. That brings me to my favorite Hall of Famer, Habakkuk. I don't have my Old Testament with me, so I'm going to have to look it up this way. Yeah. Okie dokie. Give me a second. In Hebrew thought, we talk about the major and the minor prophets. We talk about Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel. Hosea and the 12 prophets, they call them the 12 in Hebrew thought. There are no major or minors. They're all God's men. Okay, here we go. It's right here. And hopefully it will be easy because I think I underlined it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Israel, God wasn't real happy with Israel at this point. And this is what Habakkuk said. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. And God says, the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will certainly come, and it will not delay. And at the very end, this is one of my favorites. So here's my vision from Toronto. Habakkuk, however you want to pronounce it, Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. I'm not the only one with that vision. Thank goodness. I wouldn't want to be the only person praying for something like that. So even at the end, though, we haven't seen what we're asking for. We haven't seen it. Though the yield of the olive tree... Oh, and by the way, this was a song. This was set to music. Though the yield of the olive tree should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold... Sorry. I love it. And there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hind's feet, and he makes me walk on my high places. That's for the choir director on my stringed instruments. It's all through the scripture. It's not a do-it-yourself kit. We can't drum up that intense prayer in ourselves. Willpower is not hope. Self-determination is not hope. It's not faith. You don't have enough willpower to make circumstances go your way. And if you do, you may not like the ends and results. Trust God. Seek the face of God. Hope in God. Yet I will trust him. Hope is not self-determination. No matter what your eyes see, your love for him is enough. Oh gosh, I could go so many places with this. Guard your heart. It's so easy to pray for things that may not have been generated from God, but he'll let them fall. I'm sure everybody here has had people and circumstances that you would hope against hope would go the way you would think, and it does not. But you know, when things don't go our way, if we hold fast to him, he'll carry us through. I found the most difficult times in my life, and we all have them, some of the most difficult times, the only way I've gotten through is worship. God causes everything to work together for good. So what's the worst thing that can happen? Your circumstance might drive you to worship. It might drive you into the heart of God. That's not a bad thing. So, has God given you a vision? Are there people in your heart that you're praying for that you haven't seen the end results yet? Don't give up. Don't give up. There are times I've wanted to give up with this vision of this great outpouring of God where our shadows will cross people in the street and they'll cry out, God, you're God. Yeah, it happened in the in the New Testament, in Acts, happened. But that doesn't mean that our words, I was in the grocery store one day, and one of my neighbors, who's a musician, actually is a very famous musician, I saw him in the store, and he looked at me and he said, you are glowing. I said, yeah. It's God. I had just come back from Toronto at that point. And I said, it's God. I've had a radical encounter with God. And he said, well, we all need positive things in this world. And I said, yeah, he just wants to love us. And he was so shaken, but he turned around and walked away just totally flustered. But the thing is, I've been praying for him for a very long time. And even before he moved to that property, one of my friends and I rolled up scripture and stuck it in the brick wall that is on the property. It's an ancient brick wall. And guess what scripture we put there? Jeremiah 29, if you seek me with your whole heart. And I was thinking, I wonder if his son will find that. His son needs you, God. His wife needs you too. She believes in goddesses. Ooh, help me, Jesus. But don't give up. I'll have to tell you, my husband was on fire for God at one point. He was just a blazing torch. And he was going to Toronto. He was going to Pensacola. He was going to conferences at Randy Clark's out west and putting money into missions and building, housing for women in Nepal and schools in Philippines and supporting ministries. And he just had a really bad time in church a couple of times, and it just knocked the wind out of him, knocked his feet out from under him. And I wasn't going to give up on him at all. He may not be going to church now, but guess what? He prays with me every morning. We don't forget. We don't forget to pray. He comes to me. I don't go to him. And he knows, even though I'm a little more radical than most, he honors what I do for the Lord. As long as it doesn't interfere with dinner hour, it's good, right? But I haven't given up. This man has such a strong prophetic leaning that I even go to him to see what God's saying, because I see with binoculars. He sees with a telescope, and he's been right every time. He will pick out a person and know what's going to happen, and it happens. I mean, he'll see the ones that are going to fall that are not true. Okay, so when Daniel Zelli, who's the head of the Glory City Network from Brisbane, when he comes to town to our church, he gets to stay at my house. I make him sleep in the barn. Yeah, you haven't been to my barn. It's nicer than my house. I have a guest suite up above that overlooks Hitchcock Woods. It's awesome. That's where we pray. And you guys, Thursday mornings at 9 o'clock, if anybody wants to come. So Daniel, when he comes to town, it's a retreat for him. He gets private space. He brought his wife with him the last time, which was kind of fun because they got to have a real retreat. Daniel, let me back up a little bit. Daniel was a businessman, international businessman. He did negotiations for Price Waterhouse, was asked to be a partner in Brisbane. That's a big financial institution. I think it was Price Waterhouse. I think it was. Anyway, he was called to the ministry, and he left his lucrative job and became a pastor. He's the head of Hope. Let me see. It's Hope International. Is that it? World Hope. World Hope. That's it. Anyway, he takes medical teams and builders and just anybody who will go into some of the darkest countries. I mean, you talk Point to Hope probably breaks through before they get there. But he went to Cambodia last year, I guess it was. Yeah, with Catherine Rinala's ministry. And they were asked by the government to do a Christmas celebration. Now, back it up 3 years, they had been doing medical missions. In fact, he was even interrogated by the police because they thought that they were evangelizing. And anyway, the government ended up asking them to come back after 3 years and do a Christmas celebration. So it was in conjunction with a Baptist church that didn't believe in healing or the Holy Spirit still speaking. So God broke out in that meeting. And in the meeting, there were radical healings. There was a woman who documented curative, I believe it was stage 4 cancer, immediately. There was a man in a wheelchair, for years had not walked, his legs had atrophied. As they prayed for him, this astounded even them when they went to minister, the muscles in his legs just fluffed out. Right in front of their eyes, he got up and walked. These healings were on the front page of the Hanoi Times. Many were saved, and it's miraculous what God's doing. He's gone into Pakistan before, and there are some other Middle Eastern countries that they've gone into. They don't talk about where they go, but things like this are happening. So, long story short, we invited him to dinner, my husband and I, and this is the first leader that my husband has talked to in years. And when Daniel left, he said, he's the real thing. He saw no hype, no nothing. And so that is an encouragement. So don't give up. If there are any of you that have husbands that are just, they don't care, just don't give up. Don't give up. So that's my strongest prayer. The other one is my child and his wife. But you know, they're not that old right now. And I know God gave me a vision for my son, and I believe it's going to take place. Amen. I saw him in the middle of worship. Okay, that's where it happens, right? In the middle of worship, I had a vision of him and his wife sitting on the front row. He had his hand raised, and God spoke audibly to me and said, when they come in, 40 more will come with them. They are gatherers. They gather people. And I see more of a lightness in both of them. And, I won't go too much, but his wife was involved with, like, real witchcraft, white witchcraft. It's not there anymore. My son said, she's not doing that anymore. She's gotten away from those people. And I've had opportunity to share spiritual things with her in a way she could hear. So it's all possible. Those of you who have prodigals, It's all possible. Talk to Iris Walliser. Her son just came in last year, radically. I mean, they've been praying for years. It all happens. So, trust God. Pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks. Because the fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. So I think I might be about done. Never stop. I had a closing prayer for us. If I can find it, you should see my notes. Half of them got covered with coffee this morning, so I didn't bring them. This is from Romans 15:13. My blessing prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, and see to it that no one steals your joy. There's joy in prayer. And do you know your worship shakes the heavens? It shakes the enemy. That's who we are as Christians. That's who we are in the church. We are called to be an example to the forces of darkness, that look what God can do. And you have taken the enemy's place. He once was the worship leader. Now we're the worship leaders. Amen. It's the key that unlocks our faith. All righty. Well, anybody have any questions? Comments?
Thank you.
Oh God. God, you are the great and awesome God. God, we need you more than ever. And God, I ask, God, that you would touch our minds, that we would have an understanding of what the mind of Christ is in us, that your hope is in us, God. Your Holy Spirit is in us. God, we are now the tabernacle. God, we don't have to look to an ark, God. We don't have to look to the tent of meeting, God. We are the tent of meeting. Help us to be aware, God, that our every breath is known by you, and God, our every thought. So God, we fix our eyes on you and our hearts on you.